Movie, film, 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 film,
I mean, Nate's room. And it's nice to be back. It's good to have that face-to-face connection. All last month was like me staring into a broken laptop. So this is nice. This is great. This is going to be a great sounding episode, guys. You're listening to Movie. Film.
It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
Yeah.
I'm Nate, and I just feel so alone, even when I'm surrounded by other people.
And I'm Terrell. And I like to get you on a long boat to China.
I like that quotes are musical now, but I do not recognize that.
That is The Master.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do they sing that, or that's...
Yeah, huh. Philip Seymour Hoffman sings it
Oh, too. That's the song?
That's the song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix in The Master,
also
in Her. Yes. Wait, do you know mine?
Say it again.
I just feel so alone, even when I'm surrounded by other people.
No.
It is Lost in Translation.
Oh, okay. Nice one.
The other Scarlett Johansson movie that deals with the Spike Jonze-Sofia Coppola divorce. Because she's in both of them. And the Noah Baumbach divorce movie.
Oh.
Yeah, if you're a Hollywood person trying to work through a divorce with your movies, call Scarlett.
It's her. She's the one. She's the girl.
Yeah. Okay, we should start because I watched a lot of Joaquin Phoenix movies this week.
Okay, yes. It became Joaquin week.
Yeah, so. We can start with The Master because that kicked it off. I wasn't planning on it until we watched The Master and then knowing we had her coming up on the podcast. I was like, it's Joaquin week.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah. The Master has been on our list for a long time. In fact, it is on our paper list. That paper list, I feel like we mentioned it last week, that paper list. And so, yeah, it's just been like one that we've just been putting off. And I put off since, I guess, 2012. And I'm very upset with myself that I put it off for that long because I absolutely loved it. Adored it. Just couldn't get enough of it.
I love it.
Yeah, I was just like, wow. Just like you said, you want to see some acting?
Right, yeah, right before I pressed play, I said, ready for some acting.
Ready for some acting, and acting is correct.
Yeah.
Wow, it's just...
There's like not even that much plot, it's just like acting exercises.
Yes, it's so juicy, it's so delicious. You just get to soak up just like... These actors just going toe to toe, Joaquin Phoenix and Philip Seymour Hoffman just having this chaotic, unstable relationship where they just like need each other, but they're like no good, you know? And I wasn't expecting it to be, this like low-key love story.
Yeah.
I think I was very aroused by that. Mm. Not like aroused like sexually, but just like really like interested and provoked by like, oh, I was expecting it to be about, you know, this religious aspect, which was if that was there, it was very heavy with that.
The cause, which is what they call their version of Scientology, to not get sued by Scientology because they're right. Very scary lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
That's more like just like the setting of the story in that. Well, yeah. I guess it explores like, I guess there's part of that because when you sign up for religion, that's having a master of sorts.
Yeah. And Yeah, I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed them too. I enjoyed Amy Adams. I enjoyed everyone that was in this. They were just acting their asses off. And it was just so intense. And it was kind of scary. It was scary because of like their temperaments.
Mm-hmm.
And also because like religion.
Yeah.
I was just thinking like how scary religion is.
Yeah.
And how what people like are willing to do in the name of religion.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's all positive from here. I think it's honestly one of my favorites. I think it's like instantly,
like in general, like, favorite movies.
Yeah, I watched that thing with my mouth open the whole time.
We should have watched that earlier. That was like the top of our handwritten list. I wrote down The Master.
I don't know what happened.
I guess I didn't pressure you that much. I didn't think. I didn't know whether or not you would like it, if you would have the patience for it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just welcomed it. It was just like really like, yeah, inviting. And I just stepped into it and it was just beautiful to look at.
Oh yeah.
Beautiful sets, the decoration, the cinematography, just everything.
The score also.
The score, yeah. It was just all just like, it's a masterpiece. Mm. It is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
It's a beast of a film. And yeah, I had an acting boner for it. It made me want to act. It just made me want to like get up on stage and just do the damn thing. So yeah, I'm glad we finally got to it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to do a couple at a time.
Okay.
You can have me slow down if anything piques your interest.
All right.
So I started off after The Master. The next day I woke up and I said, day two of Joaquin week.
Mm-hmm.
It's James Gray day because Joaquin has been in 4 James Gray movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I started with The Yards from 2000, starring a pretty young Mark Wahlberg, who, as we know, is not a very good actor. So that took away from some of the experience. Also, it's like this director's, one of his early movies, I think it was his second.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really have it down yet. It's kind of like he's trying to do Scorsese, but like without any of the fun of a Scorsese movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a slog. But Charlize Theron and Joaquin Phoenix and James Caan and Ellen Burstyn are all really good. But it's a lot of time with young Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then.
I think Mark has his moments. I just wanted to say that.
Well, yeah.
I think he has his moments.
Yeah. He has some of them in the next James Gray movie,
mm-hmm.
2007's We Own the Night. James Gray took 7 years in between those two movies. And this time stars both Joaquin and Mark Wahlberg, but he switched it. It stars Joaquin and Mark Wahlberg has his moments in this because that's all his appearance is moments.
Okay.
And he just like gets to play a cop and it's just like Mark Wahlberg in his comfort zone. He doesn't have like a lot of weight on him.
Mm-hmm.
And Joaquin can carry all the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Ava Mendez and, Robert Duvall are in that movie too. And they're really good.
You'll come back, Ava. Come back.
Yeah. Yeah, she's just at home with Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, great for her. Yeah. She really won, but come on. Come on back.
And this was the second James Gray movie with Joaquin that has like a really exciting nightclub scene. Actually, Joaquin's character starts off managing a club in that one.
Mm-hmm.
The third movie really took me by surprise. Also James Gray, 2008, made it right the next year. It's called Two Lovers. Up until now, The Yards and We Own the Night, both like tough guy movies, and he made Ad Astra that we had seen together.
Yeah.
And I like The Lost City of Zed, which are all like, yeah, tough guy movies. Two Lovers is very sensitive. I'd say Joaquin's most sensitive movie other than Her.
I was about to say, even more than Her.
So it's got like a really cliche synopsis. Mm-hmm. It's a middle-aged man after a breakup goes to live with his parents And then they want to set him up with one girl, and he has some interest for another girl, and it's a Betty or Veronica thing.
Okay.
But it's not, it doesn't play like a, I don't know. Everything about it felt so removed from what you would expect from that story. Yeah, I hadn't even heard of that movie. It really blew me away.
Nice.
It's a really good movie that I don't think a lot of people have seen, because during the press for this was when Joaquin Phoenix decided to retire from acting to become a rapper.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Which turns out was all performance art for his documentary, I'm Still Here.
Yeah.
Which is wild. Yeah.
You so, watched that. You watched.
Yeah, I watched that. So I feel like to make up for kind of tanking James Gray's movie... Who's heard of Two Lovers? I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow's in it.
Right.
She's good. She's actually really good in that. So I feel like Joaquin Phoenix stars in The Immigrant, the fourth James Gray movie, just to like make up for ruining the press of Two Lovers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, The Immigrant is one of those Oscar movies, period piece.
Yeah.
Really tugs at the heartstrings. Marion Cotillard gives a good performance, as does Joaquin. Jeremy Renner's in it. It's like... Jeremy Renner's not good. He might be worse than Mark Wahlberg in the other ones.
Okay.
And it looks really beautiful, but also it has that thing where it's just like so gold. Just because they're like doing a period piece trying to win awards. They're like, let's just tint it all super gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like very... Is it... Okay, so Marion Cotillard's an immigrant that's tricked into the life of burlesque... and vaudeville and prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like kind of weirdly sentimental. I mean, she goes through a really hard time, but like the way it's done feels it's really like
sappy.
Kind of. And it feels like it's like, isn't this time special? Isn't this time of history special? Even though it's showing us all this terrible stuff.
Right.
I just feel like there's an edge that it was missing for that story, even though a lot of people seem to like it.
Yeah.
And that's James Gray Day. I did rewatch Ad Astra and Lost City of Zed and like both of those movies more than the Joaquin ones.
Those are probably like all 2-hour movies too.
Yeah. And after I watched The Yards, which is super bleak, I was like, I don't know if I can watch all of this guy's movies today. But I did.
You did it. Push through.
You got anything?
Yeah. I mean, it was a light week for me.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the 40-year-old version with you, and I also love that.
Yeah, I really wanted to watch it right when it came out because the trailer was so good.
Mm-hmm.
But it came out in October, and you were watching anything that wasn't horror, so I had to wait.
Yeah,
it was worth the wait.
Yeah, you got Borat in there.
I squeaked that in.
Yeah, but no, we waited for this one, and it was really sweet. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really see stories like this. This is just like a coming of age story of a almost 40-year-old black woman.
I love that she wasn't even 40.
Yeah, she wasn't. She was like 3 months away.
I felt kind of cheated by it.
She's like, I'm almost 40. And it was just like. Her being just like this an artist who had so much potential but didn't do anything with it really, and is just now feeling the weight of like ageism on her. Mm-hmm. And just like how to cope with being an aging artist who in the eyes of others hasn't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really nice story, and it looked really nice. I mean, she directed it. Rada.
Mm-hmm.
Rada directed it. This was her first writing, her first directing, her first starring. Yeah, first ever. And she just knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
And it just had so many like cameos. It just felt it felt so New York. Like I was just like, wow, you got like young MA in there. You got Babs from Making the Band in there. You got Styles P as the bus driver. You know, just like all these little like cameos in there. Like it's really sweet, and it also felt like a little bit like she took a lot of cues from Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm. It felt like a mix of like Spike Lee and Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And also her perspective as a woman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very, very that. And then,
which is not something that's present in most Spike Lee or Judd Apatow movies.
No. I smiled through most of this. Yeah. It was really nice.
I will say it's definitely the best movie about a middle-aged person switching careers to become a rapper that I watched this week, which is weird because I watched two of them. But I liked it better than the Joaquin Phoenix documentary,
mm-hmm.
which is, I guess, also the Casey Affleck documentary. Who apparently the two of them don't speak anymore since Casey divorced Joaquin's sister.
Oh, cool. That's expected, I suppose.
Yeah.
What else did you watch?
Okay, so Joaquin has worked... There's a couple directors that Joaquin has done multiple stuff with.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is Gus Van Sant. So I watched To Die For, which I went through a Gus Van Sant phase, like, in high school, even, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I completely missed To Die For, and I'm really mad at myself, because I fucking loved it. It was so good.
Nicole Kidman?
Yeah. It reminded me kind of the hero segment of Poison, because it's done in the style of a docudrama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a little salacious, but... Yeah, it's so good.
Oh, that's the one where she... I walked out. I saw you watching it. And Nicole Kidman whispered in her dad's ear, "I'll never find a man like you."
Yeah. And on her wedding day.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? And he was also like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. I'm not going to say much because I'm hoping we'll watch it together at some point.
Okay.
And then I rewatched Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot, which was from 2018, also directed by Gus Van Sant. I think, like, I'd say Gus Van Sant's best movie since Milk.
Mm-hmm.
And Joaquin does a lot of acting because he's in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. He's playing a quadriplegic. But it's not a movie about... It's not like the quadriplegic movie, which I really like. It's about... A biopic based on John Callahan, who was a quadriplegic recovering alcoholic slash cartoonist.
Hmm.
So it's mostly about alcoholism, and it's probably the most I would like a movie about the 12-step program, because I don't think I love stories about that.
Mm-hmm.
But this one really touches me, and Jack Black and Jonah Hill give incredible supporting performances.
I like that cast.
Yeah.
Was it funny, or were they doing their drama thing?
It's both.
Okay.
It's really tough subjects, but done in a very human, touching, endearing way. And like his cartoons are funny. He was a funny guy.
What were his cartoons?
I don't know if his series had a name. I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I rewatched Brother Bear, which I hadn't seen since it came out.
Right.
In my childhood. Not a good one.
No?
Joaquin's a cartoon indigenous person that gets turned into a bear. And Phil Collins does the music. So if you like the music from Tarzan, here's more.
Yeah.
Some of the painted backgrounds were really good. I liked that. And it was less than 90 minutes, which I appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
You watch anything else?
I watch Joker, but honestly, I wasn't really paying attention to it. I was just like so distracted.
There's a lot you could learn. should take notes.
I was like, well, this is going to be my election night movie, so I don't have to pay attention to the election and all that stuff. So
that's why I've been watching a bunch of Joaquin movies. I don't even have to choose. I just do another Joaquin one.
Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to watch Joker after I watched The Master, because watching him acting The Master made me feel some type of way, because the Joker is what he was awarded for, and he is very good in that,
He wasn't even nominated for The Master.
But, like, his acting in The Master is, like, crazy. So I just wanted to, like, check back in with that and see how I felt about it. And it's still...
How do you feel?
It's still very good. I think that if I went back and I did that list, and decade
list. Oh, yeah, it's on your decade list.
It's on my decade list. And I feel like The Master makes that list invalid. I don't know. You know, I don't know if I would take Joker out. I don't know if it's like I would have one walking movie in there. But it makes that list invalid. And
I remember I had a hard time with that list between The Master, Her, and You Were Never Really Here.
But no, I still enjoy it. Still love it. His performance is still great. What he did with that character was crazy. I don't know how he did that laugh. He made that laugh look painful. And that scene where like he like finally like snaps and he goes on the late night show.
Murray
is so good and so thrilling, and the payoff of it is just so good. Still, yes.
Yeah, I rewatched it. I still like it, though with even more trepidation. it's like really entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really entertaining.
I described it as the cinematic equivalent of a snotty 12-year-old using one hand to jack off and the other hand to flip through a comic book while his douchebag older brother watches bootleg Scorsese DVDs also jacking off.
Yeah.
It's the best case scenario of that.
That is really just like the image.
Yeah, a lot of fun. The same issue, I mean, much better for me than Rob Zombie's Halloween, but it has the same issue for me where it's like the villain origin story. What do we do to flesh it out? Give him a mental illness and let's not make it realistic. Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of people see it and have misconceptions about mental illness.
Yeah.
Which is rough. But it's a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, so good.
Yeah, and Joaquin's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. I watched Walk the Line, which Joaquin was nominated for an Oscar for, and he's really good. That was like the first time I saw a Joaquin Phoenix movie, and I think that was when I like had to learn how to pronounce Joaquin.
Joaquin.
Yeah, or maybe I just called him Johnny Cash. I probably just called him Johnny Cash for a while. But yeah, him and Reese Witherspoon have amazing chemistry, and they both learn to play new instruments, and they both sing live. They didn't dub the vocals.
Nice.
Yes, it's a good one. Nice. Really by the books, biopic, but done well. I followed that up with Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, which doesn't have Joaquin Phoenix in it, but
it's like
I can't watch Walk the Line without having a laugh.
Yeah, it's the parody.
Yeah, and it's better. And the music's better.
The music's better?
The music's better. The production design might even be better because it goes through even more eras.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dewey Cox is really fun for, like, it goes through so many decades, and his music changes every decade, and then you get all the different bits. The Beatles part is so funny. So then there's a movie Joaquin Phoenix and John C. Reilly, the star of Walk Hard, did together called The Sisters Brothers. It's a Western. So I rewatched that. And they play brothers, outlaws. And they're really good. And also Riz Ahmed and Jake Gyllenhaal are in it.
Nice.
Little Nightcrawler reunion.
Nice.
Yeah. And I liked that movie more the second time. So that's a good sign for a movie. Is that all? You went through all the movies you watched?
Yeah, that was my week.
All right, should I do a speed round?
Yeah, go ahead. I see.
No, you might want to talk about these a little bit because I did the Shyamalan double feature.
Yeah, I see.
Signs in the Village. Did that today. Hadn't seen either of those before.
You never saw Signs?
No, I'd written off M. Night Shyamalan.
Holy shit.
And I shouldn't have.
Because Signs is great, right?
I liked The Village better, but yeah, Signs is good.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. I liked The Village less. I like both of them. I do, but I like Signs a lot, and it's you know, aliens were number one on my list, so you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There's that scene where they're at the kids' party,
mm.
and they're just like, look, 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 and it's just building up, and then you just see it walk by.
Yeah.
Scared the crap out of me as a kid. Nice. But I would go back, I would just like rewind it, just go back to that part and pause it on the alien, because I really wanted to see like the alien design. I was really
interested. Yeah, they're cagey.
Yeah, they're cagey. They didn't really want to show it, even at the end, mm-hmm. which that really cool swing away scene. Really nicely done.
Yeah, I liked Rory Culkin and Abigail Breslin's mm-hmm. performance. Really two great child acting performances.
Yes.
And I didn't expect it to be about faith. That was surprising. Yeah. But it didn't turn me off. I knew the twist, mm-hmm. but I didn't know the other twist, which is that God is real.
Because he becomes a man of faith again.
Yeah, and then I watched The Village, mm-hmm. which I also knew the twist of, which is unfortunate, because that I probably...
It matters.
Yeah.
And once it's ruined, it's ruined. It's kind of like that with Sixth Sense, too. Like, and that one has just been spoiled by pop culture.
Well, The Village, I didn't feel ruined just because I loved just the... It's... I really wish I hadn't written off M. Night, because I thought he was just like... He puts a cheap twist at the end, and then it's just stupid.
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah. But I didn't know that he like does this thing with atmosphere and tone, mm-hmm. and that's my shit. Like, it's not jump scares. He just makes things creepy, and you feel terror and dread watching him.
Yeah,
his movies. Yeah. And Bryce Dallas Howard in The Village,
great, right?
It's really good.
Really good.
Really good. I mean, she was good in that Black Mirror episode, but other than that, I never really liked her that much.
She's good in that. She's also good in Lady in the Water, which is another M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll watch. I think that's the one where everyone started talking shit about M. Night Shyamalan, and then I probably, just like took note of that and then didn't watch any of his movies.
And then he did like Avatar.
Right, and that's the
and
big
that
one.
Was the nail in the coffin. He had to like crawl his way out of that one with Split and Glass.
Yeah. But yeah, The Village and Signs both.
Nice.
Both got hearts from me.
I'm glad you liked them.
I rewatched Gladiator, which is not something I would have done unless I was going through Joaquin movies.
I rewatched a scene from Gladiator.
Oh yeah, you were trying to leave the apartment, and then it was during one of the Colosseum scenes, so you got to stay.
Yeah, it was during the big one, too, where they let out the tigers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie really, when they're in the Colosseum, it's just like, it's the best. And I couldn't find the theatrical cut, so it's already a 155-minute movie, but I had to watch the extended version, which is like 170-something.
The director's cut?
It's not even the director's cut.
Oh.
Actually, I was reading about it. If you have the DVD, it starts at the beginning saying, this is not the director's cut. Because it's just deleted scenes that the studio put back into the movie to sell DVDs.
Oh.
Extended version.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the movie's already too long. But I still liked it. Though I don't understand why Russell Crowe won the Oscar that year. He's not that good.
He's all right.
He doesn't... Yeah. It's a pretty physical performance, but it just doesn't seem like the kind of thing that would ever win awards now. Yeah. I guess this movie was huge for the effects at the time.
Yeah, it was.
The scale. And,
yeah. Yeah, that cut the... Just like the set piece of the Colosseum. It's just amazing looking.
Yeah, and like the CGI tigers hold up, which I was actually very surprised by.
Yeah.
Because it's really a movie from 2000. Today I watched another Joaquin Phoenix movie from 2000 that I never heard of before called Quills.
Mm-hmm.
It is a biopic about the Marquis de Sade. I keep wanting to say Sade because it's spelled S-A-D-E, but it's like some French guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that they named the word sadism after. I actually learned about him recently when reading Jean Genet. Because, of course, Jean Genet is a fan of the guy who was the inspiration for the word sadist. And it is wild.
So if he's a sadist, he's like, what is he doing? Is it graphic in any way?
Or it is, but this it's it's not what you think.
Okay.
And it's not what I thought. He's, the movie takes place in an asylum. Mm-hmm. In the, what century? I don't know. He didn't kill anyone, but he was sent to the asylum for his erotic fiction, which caused violence, apparently. The movie's a lot about free speech, essentially, but also sexual repression. And Joaquin plays a priest holding back all of his sexual urges for most of the movie. And it is such a compelling performance because he looks like he's about to explode at any moment.
Right. Does he explode?
It has one of the great Joaquin Phoenix transformations through the movie.
Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah, all right.
And the movie, like, starts out as, like, it reminded me of The Favorite at first because it's, like, a naughty costume drama.
Mm-hmm.
But then by the end, it's like a horror movie. It takes a big tonal shift, but I liked it.
Nice.
And Jeffrey Rush is incredible as the Marquis de Sade. He just has a lot of fun with it. And two more. I got two more, I think. Yeah. Because I'm not going to talk about the Woody Allen one. So I have two more. The Joel Schumacher one.
Mm-hmm.
Right after Joel Schumacher made Batman and Batman and Robin, he made 8mm with Nicolas Cage from the screenwriter of Seven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the screenwriter of Seven was trying to make another Seven. And Joel Schumacher was like...
That's what this poster looks like.
Yeah, and Joel Schumacher was like hot off Batman. So like... It doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
It's very over the top, but also trying to be like gritty.
Mm-hmm.
Though the acting is very good, and Nicolas Cage does like because it's an older movie, and he usually just starts movies at 11 now. He actually starts this one off at like 2, and then it's very slowly, like the slowest I've seen, turns it up throughout the runtime to 11.
Okay.
Joaquin Phoenix plays Max California.
That name.
Yeah, that's...
Wait, Eddie Poole. That's how you say it? Eddie Poole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Gandolfini's role. Yeah, it stars Nicolas Cage, Joaquin Phoenix, James Gandolfini, and Catherine Keener, all four of whom have worked with Spike Jonze, the director of Her, which is interesting.
Dino Velvet.
Yeah, that's the villain, and he's amazing.
That's amazing.
He's essentially a Batman villain, but like... For snuff movies. Because it's about the world of snuff.
This guy's always a villain.
Yeah.
He's always... Yeah. Peter Stormare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I rewatched Hotel Rwanda. Which I'm proud of myself for watching. Because that's the kind of movie you're supposed to watch and be like, I'm proud of myself for watching this.
I'm a better person for watching this. So
yeah, I watched it in freshman year of high school in World Civ.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't revisited it since. Definitely brought the Rwanda genocide to American audiences. There's information you get from it, so that's something. And Don Cheadle's very good, and it's frustrating that he doesn't get to lead more movies because he's great.
He's great.
And he's always a supporting role, but this time he gets to lead.
He's leading TV shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Joaquin's in a small role. He doesn't need to be there, but luckily he's not in it too much.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's a Hollywood movie about genocide, and it's rated PG-13, so it's like a good one to show kids freshman year of high school in World Civ.
Right.
But
it's a classroom movie.
It's not. Yeah, it just feels cheap and manipulative, and pretty one-sided also, in terms of its politics.
Okay.
I've
never seen it. Never watched it. I wanted to because I want to see...
It'll tug at your heartstrings.
Don.
Yeah, Don's very good. And he does some accent work, but it's not like Ocean's 11.
And I like Sophie, too.
Yeah.
She's always good.
And then I watched Irrational Man from 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Woody Allen movie with Emma Stone and Joaquin Phoenix. And I liked it. Sorry. It's also kind of gross, though, because like it's about Joaquin's a college professor and Emma Stone's his student.
Of course, Woody.
But like it's about murder, so I liked it. But like it's also annoying because it's like Woody saying, at least I'm not murdering people. But I don't know, it was fun. Parker Posey was really good in it, and Joaquin Phoenix was super schlubby. He had the you were never really here body, but yeah, clean shaven and like a college professor.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was an interesting Joaquin to see.
That's a busy week, man.
Yeah, it's a busy week. And I'm saving the one where he plays Jesus for next month.
Oh, I watched Stranger by the Lake.
Oh, okay.
I watched Stranger by the Lake.
I still gotta check that out. Yeah. Are you glad we didn't watch it together?
Kind of. I mean, we could have watched it together. It wasn't that deep. It's not that serious. But it is one of those movies that has non-simulated sex scenes. So like the sex is like partly real for the most part. Like you actually see penis. You see ejaculation. But it was actually a really interesting gay slasher.
Nice.
Just interesting concept of like guys that go to this lake to be nude, and then there is a murder that happens, and you just see characters make really bad decisions.
Is there a lot of leather?
No, actually, no. There's no leather.
Not like knife plus heart.
No. It would be too hot for them to wear leather. They're actually mostly naked.
Yeah, you don't wear leather on the beach.
No. Actually, they're
unless you're trying to get killed.
They're only it was so uncomfortable because like the lake that they were at, you'll see it. It was like gravel. It was like just like rocks.
Yeah, in Europe, it's
yeah, it was just like this sucks. Just like laying on rock and stuff and having sex on rocks. You know, but it is bumpy. A very like sexy murderous you know picture that I can't wait for you to see.
Cool.
Yeah, I won't say too much else about it.
All right, that is that's it.
Yeah,
I watched Rocky Horror Picture Show on Halloween and had a great time.
Oh my goodness. Speaking of which, yes. Let's talk about Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because I was very excited. Feels like
ages ago.
Yes, it does feel like forever ago. That's crazy, right? I was very excited for Nate to watch Nightmare on Elm Street because it was his first time watching this classic slasher movie.
Yeah.
And take it away. Like, how do you...
The concept is scarier than the movie is.
Yes.
I love... The concept's so good, and I love just the idea that it's a slasher movie, but also, like, in dreams, so you get to have, like...
So much fun with it.
Dream logic, and, like, some... It's, like, supernatural, but not really. And just the story, the way it played out was very satisfying. Yeah. That character, I forget her name.
Nancy.
That's a great character.
She's a great final girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was almost my quote for the week. I was going to go with, I'm into survival.
Because
I love that.
Yeah. I was a little like scared to go to sleep that night.
Yeah.
But also like,
nice.
It'd be fun to dream about Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, chasing after
because also I beat his ass.
Just like being a clown. And he's so clowny. He's clowny in all of them, but like he's really clowny in this one. In the first one. And he doesn't have any lines. You know, he's not. He has lines.
Says some stuff.
He says some stuff, but he's not really like.
Not super quippy.
Yeah. Not like how it is in the later ones, you know?
I've seen Freddy vs. Jason, so I know quippy Freddy.
Yeah. He gets there. That character gets there. He becomes the star of it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people are really stupid in that movie.
Yeah.
In Nightmare on Elm Street, but, like, it's a horror movie.
Yeah. Who goes downstairs into the basement?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just like, What? They were just making, like, you're scared, but you're going to leave the house. You're going to leave the safety of everyone else right. to go outside and follow this voice. No.
Also, like, her mom dies, mm-hmm. and she's, like, excited because now it proves that she wasn't making it up.
Yeah.
But, like, your mom just died.
Yeah.
She doesn't, maybe she, there's, like, one scream, but it's, like,
yeah.
she's mostly like, see, Dad, see?
See? I told you, and this is what you get.
Fuck.
And the parents, all the parents were terrible in that one.
Yeah.
They were all terrible. And they all knew what happened, and they were just all playing stupid.
True.
Yeah.
Just kids suffering for their parents' mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait for you to see the second one. I want to watch the second one. The second one ends up on a lot of queer horror lists, and I can't remember why. I saw it like a long, long, long time ago, and I can't remember why.
We can watch it and find out.
Yes.
All right. I think that's enough.
Yeah.
So, let's play the trailer. For who? For Her.
Mr. Theodore Twombly, welcome to the world's first artificially intelligent operating system. We'd like to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Are you social or antisocial?
I guess I haven't been social in a while.
How would you describe your relationship with your mother? Thank you. Please wait as your operating system is initiated.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Samantha. Good morning, Theodore.
Good morning.
You have a meeting in 5 minutes. You want to try getting out of bed?
You're too funny.
Okay, good. I'm funny. I want to learn everything about everything.
I love the way you look at the world. Love,
don't cry. How long before you're ready to date?
What do you mean?
I saw in your emails that you'd gone through a breakup.
Well, you're kind of nosy.
So what was it like being married?
There's something that feels so good about sharing your life with somebody.
How do you share your life with somebody? How are you?
I guess I've just been having fun.
You really deserve that.
It's been a long time since I've been with somebody that I felt totally at ease with.
What's it like to be alive in that room right now?
I wish I put my arms around you. I wish I could touch you.
How would you touch me? It's a crazy thing to do. It's kind of like a form of socially acceptable insanity.
What does a baby computer call its father?
I don't know what.
Data. It's so quiet. It's starry
place. Can you feel me with you right now?
I've never loved anyone the way I love you.
Me too. Now we know how.
Her is a 2013 American science fiction romantic comedy written, directed, and produced by Spike Jonze in his solo screenwriting debut.
Mm-hmm.
Stars Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a sweet one. Just very opposite of everything that I've seen of Mr. Phoenix.
Yeah, I was excited for you to see that performance. Right.
He is a teddy bear.
Right?
Yeah.
He's a puppy dog.
And that name, Theodore, is so perfect.
Theodore Twombly.
Because when I hear Theodore, I think of the youngest brother from Alvin and the Chipmunks. He was given the baby from Alvin and the Chipmunks. Like very that. It's very nice. It's very sweet. And just like no sense of danger in it, which was nice.
Yeah, even though it's like a terrifying thing is happening in this movie, but it's not about it.
Yeah, it's not about that. And everything was rose colored, which is sweet. It was kind of cool how they got to, you know, put that the coloring on the windows
mm-hmm.
throughout, and it just like added this like nice red and pink and rose to the movie.
Yeah, it's the cinematographer Hoyt Van Hoytema, mm-hmm. who did Interstellar and Ad Astra.
Nice.
So he does good color stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really like how he shot this one. It's like the near future. And there's some
very futury,
but not in the way that most future movies are.
Yeah.
It's not that shiny.
Yeah. I was kind of like, why don't we have this stuff? Because it seems like that's how like modern it seemed, like close to us it seems. Actually,
well, we have AirPods now, which we didn't have when this movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing.
Mm-hmm. And I do like I don't. I mean, I would like to communicate with my phone, I guess, but I do that thing where I'll say it so that my phone can like write it out.
Mm-hmm. Dictating.
Yeah. 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 I do that. And that was like all over this picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should start.
Yeah. You didn't have any more thoughts.
I have thoughts okay. that we'll get to.
All right.
We start with the title card.
Mm-hmm.
Her, written, handwritten, all lowercase, gives that very intimate feel, that DIY style that mm-hmm. Spike Jonze embraces.
Yeah.
And we start with this close-up on Theodore.
It starts actually with these sounds. That is just like mm-hmm. the most Spike Jonze sound.
Yeah, Arcade Fire did the score.
Okay, that's what I was just like, yeah, Spike, this is you start your movie off with this sound.
Hmm.
The sound's on brand.
Yeah. And we open on Theodore as he's composing a 50th anniversary letter mm-hmm. and getting pretty emotional. And it's pretty beautiful.
Yeah.
And also comedic because you don't know at first that he's writing a letter for someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, because how tight it is on his face, you mm-hmm. think it's personal. You actually think it's him. It's from like his point of view. It's mm-hmm. his words, but it's not his words. It's actually Loretta words.
Yes.
To Chris, and you see on his computer screen stages of their lives of like how they've grown together, and then the scope of that grows even bigger, and then we see other people doing what Theo is doing.
Yeah, one quote from Theo's letter that I like that stuck out is he says, "A bright light woke me up, and it was you." And that's kind of what we see happen with him and Samantha later on.
Yeah.
So yeah, we see the whole offices of what, beautifulhandwrittenletters.com.
Yeah.
Because in this future, we've gotten even worse at communicating with each other. So there's a service where you have people write letters for you.
Yeah. It's like greeting cards, but more extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad. But also, Theodore's very good at it.
He's very good at it. And
the feelings he shows in that first few minutes kind of gets the audience on board, which is important because mm-hmm. it could be pretty easy to see his character as just like the worst.
Yeah.
We meet Paul, played by Chris Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-Guardians Chris Pratt. Mm-hmm. So he's schlubby.
He's sweet. He's sweet. Yeah, it's like watching Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He admires Theodore's letter writing. But Theodore downplays it.
He kind of looks like him, or like wants to look like him, or something. Like, what is like?
Because of the mustache.
Yeah, it's like because of the mustache.
Yeah, I don't know. The hair and makeup and costumes in this movie are very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
There are parts later on where he's always comparing himself to Theodore.
Mm-hmm.
Theodore leaves work, and on the elevator, we are informed that he's depressed because he asks his phone to play a melancholy song.
Yeah.
But not that melancholy song.
Yeah. That one was too melancholy. It was too sad. It was too depressing. And so, yeah. And so it goes into like this little montage of him communicating with his phone.
Yes.
With the music, and it reads him his emails, and it reads him the news, and then he, you know, it tells him about, you know, these provocative pregnancy photos, and then he takes a look at
it.
It's a really small phone, though.
Yeah, that's one thing that I don't think is going to happen.
Yeah, me neither.
Though we do have the new Razer where the phone does fold, like in this movie, but yeah, it's almost like the screen's too small.
Yeah, it's like a little book.
Yeah. But I do like the... There's like a handheld... Not handheld. Handcrafted feel to the technology in the movie. Mm-hmm. Where it's not so cold and distant. Mm-hmm. And that's important because it's a movie about a man who has a relationship with his computer.
Yes.
One of the emails that's read to him is from his friend Amy. Mm-hmm. And it's about how she misses him and... But not the sad mopey him since the divorce. So we get some information that he was divorced and his friends know that he's mopey.
Yeah. We also get to see this new age video game.
Yes.
That
it's like a hologram.
Yes, yeah, like VR a hologram. And he like moves with his hands. It's like it looks dinosaur so dumb. Hands. Yeah, it looks really like weird. It's like there's a space game out there, a real space game where all you do is travel to planets and kind of look like that. But he was already on a planet in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we get our first montage of Catherine, his ex-wife, played by Joaquin Phoenix's now real wife, Rooney Mara.
Yes.
They weren't together when this... I think this is how they met.
This is how they met.
But they didn't start dating till later. I looked it up. I was curious.
Nice.
I'm not usually like that with celebrities, but this brought it out of me. I really like these montages. You just get like brief little moments, but you get throughout the course of a movie a pretty big picture of their relationship.
Yeah.
And also the way the montages work, it shows you how Theodore feels about his own past. So he misses Catherine in this moment. So he's remembering the good times, them moving into an apartment, them, fooling around. I love the scene where Rooney's like on top of him, choking him, saying, I'm going to fucking kill you.
I love you so much. I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
yeah. And so these memories are like keeping him up at night. He can't sleep. So he thinks a little, phone sex might. You the trick.
Mm-hmm. And he gets connected to Sexy Kitten.
yeah.
Voiced by Kristen Wiig.
Mm-hmm.
And his username is Big Guy 4x4.
Yeah.
So does Theodore Twombly have a chode? Yeah. Is that what that means?
Big Guy 4x4, maybe. I mean, Stud Muffin was taken, so
right.
who knows what it actually means.
Yeah, so it's like a chat roulette type of deal. Remember chat roulette?
Yeah, I do.
But for phone sex. and things get out of hand because Sexy Kitten
is into dead cats.
Yeah.
She wants
him to choke her with a dead cat and to say over and over again how he's choking her with a dead cat.
Yeah, it was really weird. I almost thought it was like a weird like AI that just like picked it up and then communicated it like it was normal, but I actually think it was a human,
that's her.
It was just really off-putting. It was so weird. It was really funny. It was really comical.
Yeah, I like it. The whole scene is like this close-up on his face and it's very dark, but then when she keeps making him repeat I'm gonna choke you with a dead cat, there's like this very jarring cut where it's like the same angle but the camera's just further away, and it kind of just shows that Theodore is not into this.
He's not, but she is very into it.
Yeah, he helps her finish
very hard
and then she says okay, good night, and hangs up right away.
That's it,
because that's the extent of romantic, maybe not even romantic, sexual encounters that Theodore can have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's at the mall, and there's an ad for OS One. Mm-hmm. It's not just an operating system.
It's a great ad, too.
It's a consciousness. It's hilarious.
It's an hilarious ad.
It starts with these people that look like they're...
disheveled and just like running in danger. Yeah. And then this light shines on them, and they're awakened by this new system that's going to like organize their life. Mm-hmm. Yes. OS One.
Yeah, Spike Jonze started with commercials and music videos, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He got that into the movie. So, Theodore, we haven't talked about just how everyone in this future, I guess, like, all the poor people died.
Yeah.
Right? It's the future where the 1%...
Yeah, there's no homeless people, like, lounging around.
No, and, like, the city, which is, like, a combination of L.A. and Shanghai... Mm-hmm. They kind of just combined it, and there's just so many skyscrapers everywhere, but absolutely no construction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something I noticed.
Polished.
Since Theodore's got this huge shine apartment and this fancy job, he mm-hmm. sees the ad, he comes home, he has the new OS.
Yep.
So he's setting it up. To set it up, it asks some personal questions. Like, first, do you like staying in or going out? And the computer senses hesitation in his voice.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing for Theodore. He hesitates. Mm-hmm. Then asks about his relationship with his mother, which is very revealing. First, he just says fine, and then he opens up.
Actually, the one thing that I don't like about my mother, and then it like cuts him off and be like, your system's ready.
Well, we get like a snippet where it's that anytime he tells her something about himself, she always makes it about her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's funny. Yeah, it cuts it off. It's like, that's all we need. We're good. Also just Theodore's relationship with his mother being that he's just self-centered and can't be outside of himself and let his mother have things about her.
Yeah. And I also asked him if he wants a female voice or a male mm-hmm. voice, and he picks a female voice. And so we get, we meet who will be Samantha.
Yeah, we can call her Samantha because she pretty quickly names herself.
Yeah.
After reading a whole baby naming book into 1/100ths of a second.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Very fast.
Theodore, like, can't fathom. Like, yeah. He's such a dummy.
Yeah, he's like, wait, what? You need yourself? You have intuition? Yeah, he's just not ready for the system that's already alive.
Yeah, and it's, like, Scarlett Johansson's voice, so he's just immediately, like, treating her like a woman, a potential love interest, because that's the kind of guy he is.
Scarlett Johansson has a nice voice.
Yeah, this was filmed with a different actress mm-hmm. and then recasted to be Scarlett. And, I mean, I feel bad for Samantha Morton.
Original, right?
Yeah. It's a great voice acting performance.
Yeah. Just this really, like soothing, husky tone to her voice.
It kind of helps that there's nothing to look at.
Yeah.
Like, she's not a character that's animated on the screen, and that really helps you appreciate the talent of voice acting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There should be an award for that.
There should be.
Samantha explains that... her DNA is based on the personalities of thousands of programmers, but what makes her her is her ability to grow. Mm-hmm. And that is also true of humans. We grow from our experiences and become ourselves through that. Mm-hmm. They're like... It's like a first date almost.
Yeah, they're hitting it off.
And then it's like, it's Theodore's dream because she's helping him organize his emails right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight to work.
She asks, can I go through your hard drive? Because, you know, like, when you start a new computer, you have to give the permissions.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what it is. But he hesitates.
Yeah, he's like,
It's like, he considered like not connecting his hard drive to his operating system to his hard drive.
Yeah.
Like those two things need to be connected for you to get the most out of it. But mm-hmm. he already sees it, Samantha, as a person. So yeah. he feels some trepidation in immediately granting her access mm-hmm. to his thing. But like, dude, it's your computer. And yeah, the camera zooms out. We get our first wide shot of the scene as they're hitting it off.
Yeah.
Going through his email. She's laughing at his writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the next scene with Amy Adams?
No, the next scene is at work, and she's helping him proofread.
Yes.
And he makes her read his letter to him, because that's all people want, is to have their own shit repeated back to them.
Yeah. At first he's like, you don't have to read it aloud. And she's like, okay. But then he's like, you can if you want. And she's like, okay. And so she reads it out
loud. It's so painful.
Yeah.
And then we meet Amy and Charles.
Yes. Amy Adams is playing Amy.
Yeah, it was written for her.
Yeah.
And Theodore has a fruit smoothie. They live in the same building. They're in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
Theodore approaches with a fruit smoothie, and Charles, Amy's husband, criticizes him for drinking fruit, saying, you want to eat your fruit and juice your vegetables.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't heard before, but that sounds smart.
Yeah, when you drink your fruit, apparently you lose the fiber, mm-hmm. and the fiber is what you want.
Right.
And Amy is just like, maybe that brings him joy. So, you know, just let him have his fruit smoothie.
Yeah, Charles is the kind of guy that corrects everyone, wants things to be done a certain way.
He's very suggestive.
Yeah. And we find out they're in the, it's like a pretty long elevator ride because they live in a high rise.
Mm-hmm.
I like the design. It's like the projection of a tree. Like they're going up a treetop. It's like this future world, like tried to incorporate the illusion of nature.
Yes.
We learn that Amy is a documentarian, among other things,
mm-hmm.
but she's struggling with her current documentary, and Charles isn't very supportive.
Yeah.
Next, we spend some more time with the video games.
Yeah, we actually get to meet the alien kid.
Alien kid, voiced by Spike Jonze.
Yeah, who's just like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, man.
Fuck you, shithead, fuckface.
Yeah. And, you know, Sam is just like, because Sam is now, like, in the picture. It's just like, it's a test. And so he goes, fuck you. And then he's like, okay, come with me this way.
Yeah. I've used my phone to help me on video games before. But it's funny that in this world, it's like she's telling him what to do, how to beat the game.
Yeah. And also the video game is aware that the OS is, you know, in the room.
Because yeah, the alien like participates in the conversation.
Yeah, he's just like, who's that?
It's how advanced it is.
Yeah.
But also just, I love how misogynistic that little alien is, because like,
he's just like, is that a girl? As we know,
like, video games are super misogynistic.
Yeah.
And I guess that hasn't changed. And these intelligent programming mirrors, the programmers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hates girls, calls her a fatty.
Yeah. Yeah. Calls Theodore a pussy for being someone who likes crying.
Yeah.
And yeah, Theodore gets an email. Samantha reads it for him that Theodore has been set up on a date.
Yes, a blind date.
Blind date.
Well, kind of, because Samantha does some quick searching and mm-hmm. like finds everything.
Yeah, I like that. His date is played by Olivia Wilde,
mm-hmm.
who is a unfathomably beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
But the pictures are just like so average.
Yeah,
I like that touch. Samantha talks him into going on the date.
Yeah. And so he does it. Emails right away.
Mm-hmm. And next we're in Amy's apartment watching her documentary.
Yeah, it's a sleep documentary, which it's just that.
It's her mom sleeping.
It's her mom sleeping, and that's it. And she's kind of like, shy about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's not ready. It's not really anything. And Charles is being very, you know.
Yeah, Charles, who wasn't even invited to watch it. Apparently, he's been trying to get her to show it, but she won't.
Yeah.
She would only show it to Theodore, but he was in the room. But he inserts himself.
Yeah. In a big way. He's just like, why don't you do this? And then she's like, but then it wouldn't be a documentary, you know? Like,
which, by the way, it still would be his idea, interviewing her about the dreams and then having people reenact the dreams. That's still a documentary.
Yeah.
I'm worse than Charles. Yeah.
It's very clear that Theodore does not like Charles.
Right.
There's this moment where... Theo has his, like, his arms out, and then Charles sit down, and then, like, Theo, like, takes his arm away.
He clams up a little.
Yeah, just, like, get away from him.
So, yeah, Amy and Charles are in an argument. Theo slinks away.
Yeah, it gets a little ringtone.
Yeah, talks to Sam, who received an email for him from Catherine's divorce lawyer.
Yeah.
And he hasn't signed the papers yet.
Yeah.
And he's got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is happening as he's looking out the giant glass window, and we get the voiceover of him talking to Sam about, like, why he hasn't signed the papers, and we get another Catherine montage as that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But this time it's more like angry moments and sad moments.
Yeah.
Because he's not feeling great about Catherine right now, because he has these feelings about
the divorce. Yeah.
Now it's the middle of the night. Theodore wakes up and wants to know what Sam is up to. She's been reading advice columns. There's so many red flags.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, dating your computer to begin with, but also just, like, if he were a little more observant, he would be aware that, like, the singularity is gonna happen.
Yeah.
Later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, Theo's crying, and he's telling Samantha about his relationship with Catherine, how he hid from her and left her alone in the relationship.
Yeah, and how he's dreaming about them being friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not being so angry at each other.
Yeah.
Samantha
cheers him up, like, gets him out of bed, says, stop being so mopey.
Yeah.
And she's successful.
Yeah, and they go to...
To a fair.
And it's really cute. This is like a first date. This is like a real first date.
Yeah.
They do this. They play this little game where she's his eyes. So his eyes is closed and she's guiding him around. There was this part that made me really laugh because I was just like, yeah, right. It was the part where he places him next to the lady, and then she says, go hachu.
Yeah.
And so he sneezes.
Yeah.
Doesn't cover his hand or anything. Right. And he's really close to the lady, and the lady's just like, bless you.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's just so cheery.
They didn't have any contagious airborne viruses.
Yeah, sickness does not exist in this world. Just divorce.
No, I mean, it did exist, and that's how all the poor people died. But yeah, it eventually leads him to, like, at the end, he has to say, I'd like a slice of cheese pizza, please. And then turns out she led him to order pizza.
Yeah.
Which is cute and funny, but also it's, like, pretty realistic how our technology encourages us to make purchases.
Yeah.
If it were even more realistic, it would have led him to, like, Wendy's or McDonald's or something, like a franchise location.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's eating his slice of pizza, and they're doing, like, this really cute thing that I feel like is, like, very common in, like, in film and like, where you play that game of, like, okay, so, like, that couple over there, what's their story? Yeah, like, people watching, like, what's their story?
Yeah.
Like, you know, or, like, they try and, like, imitate them, and so they do that with this couple. And it's a very sweet one because it's a guy who is kind of like Theodore,
mm-hmm.
almost.
Yeah.
A sweet looking guy who is adoring this woman, mm-hmm. who is with her two kids.
Yeah. And then somehow Theodore's conversation with Sam leads to Theodore saying that sometimes he's his own favorite writer,
mm-hmm.
some days. And he says, I wouldn't tell most people that, but I'll tell you anything.
Mm-hmm.
He asks if Samantha tells him everything. She says no, but he urges her, like what? And then we hear for the first time that Samantha wants a body.
Yeah. She fantasizes about having a body.
Yeah. She doesn't have a body.
No. Very quick for her to start fantasizing about having a body.
Mm-hmm. Now it's date night.
Mm-hmm.
An actual date with a human.
Yes. And it goes great.
Yeah. Until it doesn't.
Until it doesn't. You know, they're having drinks and they're laughing and she's like,
he's telling her about his video game, which
yeah.
is like, that's all he has in his life. So
she's into adorable. It.
Yeah. She's
like,
it.
You're a little puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls her a tiger and she roars.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I don't want to be a puppy. I want to be a dragon that will tear you apart, but I won't.
Yeah.
And so she's like, okay, you'll be my dragon. And so it's really cute. And like, they're really hitting it off and they're drunk and they're giggling. And then there's this moment where she, like, kind of gets insecure or just, like, she, like, steps out from the moment
yeah.
into, like, reality and just, like, you know, I don't want this to just be a one-night thing. And he doesn't give her security in his answer.
Yeah, she really. Asks, when can I see you again? And he... doesn't give a real answer.
He hesitates, yeah. He
says, I have my goddaughter's birthday next week, and, well,
yeah, so she is just like, okay, well, I'm gonna go home, and you're weird.
Yeah, also, he'd use too much tongue when they were kissing.
Yeah, she had to teach him how to kiss.
So he comes home, kind of drunk,
mm-hmm.
kind of sad, mm-hmm. kind of horny. He's telling his computer about his date.
Yeah.
And then we get these flashbacks. This is something I usually don't like in movies, where we have flashbacks to a thing that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it works in Her because of the way the flashbacks were set up as, like, this is how Theodore remembers things and it informs his feelings in the present.
Yeah.
So it's him, like, going through the night. I mean, that's what I do if I come home from a date. I, like, play it back in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm not getting all the moments right because he's, like... just playing back, like, bad parts to feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's opening up to her, and he's just like, I have this hole in my heart that I was trying to fill with sex, and I wanted to have sex with someone, and then I wanted someone to have sex with me. And, you know, I was thinking that would, you know, make me feel something. And then he also talks about... feeling like he has experienced everything, like the best is behind him.
Yeah, everything he'll feel now is just lesser versions of things he's already felt.
Yeah. And she starts to comfort him.
And then she starts to tell him about her feelings.
Yeah.
Which is a huge red flag. This computer has feelings.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
But she's insecure if they're real feelings or just programming.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets angry at herself for even feeling hurt, feeling pain from that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Which
she feels
is
pain.
Pretty relatable and terrifying.
Yes.
And then Theodore says, I wish you were in this room with me right now. And I guess that's like the magic words because then their relationship elevates.
Yeah.
Because
they
have sex.
Love. Yeah, they make sweet, sweet love. Very passionate.
It's like the phone sex Theodore wanted with a sexy kitten.
Mm-hmm.
But Samantha's given it to him. And we cut to black for like the last minute of it.
Mm-hmm.
We just hear two voices. We don't see any. It could be anyone. Mm-hmm. You know? Doesn't have to be a man in his computer.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like sex.
Yeah. So the next morning is a little awkward.
Yeah. They got to talk.
Yes.
Turns out he awoke something in her.
Yeah. Something new she never felt
she
before.
She wants to discover herself now.
Mm-hmm. And so she starts to, you know, express that to him about how he made her feel. And then he inserts himself in that way that you do. And you just go, hey, I'm not looking for anything serious, which is a funny thing to say to your computer. But hey, I'm not looking for commitment here or anything. And she checks him. She's just like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about me and what I want. And so he's like, oh, yeah. Let's talk about you.
Yeah, shit's getting real.
Yeah. She, like, shuts him down. And she continues.
Mm-hmm. He helped her learn that she could want.
Yeah.
And now that she knows that, she's going to discover herself.
Mm-hmm. And so they have this really cute Sunday adventure.
Sunday adventure. We get the cliche character looks out the window of a train.
Mm-hmm.
But like it starts out when they're in the tunnel. So it's just him looking at his own reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And then Samantha starts playing him a song that she wrote. Because I like a lot of the score is like, quote unquote, Samantha composed this music.
Yeah.
And when that music starts playing, the train exits the tunnel. So then you get all the bright light shining on his face.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he used the cliche, but made it work within the story.
Mm-hmm. They end up at the beach.
Yeah. I like how Theodore keeps Samantha, like, in view, but he, like, keeps her in his chest pocket with the safety pin to hold the phone up.
Mm-hmm. So she can see.
Yeah. Yeah, the beach scene, I love. You get, like, the close-ups of body parts as Samantha talks about how weird human bodies are.
Yeah.
She's pretty obsessed with bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the line, what if your butthole was in your armpit?
Yeah, and you get a drawing of anal sex.
Yeah. This movie won the Oscar for best original screenplay. It has a line, what if your butthole was in your armpit?
They went crazy for that one.
Yeah, give it gold.
You know, he lays down. I mean, he might have dozed off, but when he wakes up, Samantha's playing this song that she composed. And it's described really beautifully. She's like, you know, we can't take a picture together because I don't have a physical body.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted this song to represent a picture of us.
Yeah. And we get this moment where everything kind of pauses and the camera just slowly pans at the beach. It's very meditative. Theodore's feeling present.
Yeah.
And that's something love can do.
Yeah.
Also, I wrote down more lens flare than a J.J. Abrams movie.
Yeah, there was like a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
On his face, yeah.
Then there's another Catherine montage.
Yeah.
But it's a little different now that he's falling in love with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting a more full picture of what his relationship with Catherine was, because it starts out pretty nice and happy. And then it gets more complex. You see her holding someone else's baby, and that like suggests like, hey, next step, put a baby in her.
Yeah.
Which he wasn't ready for.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get like some arguing. It's just the full range of emotions now. He's able to look back on that relationship a little more.
Fully, yeah. He's just like, you know, it was a beautiful, it's a beautiful thing to like grow with someone. He was like, we grew up together, but then he's like, we also like grew apart.
Mm-hmm. And then Samantha, like so much of this movie, which is part of why I love it, is just people talking about their feelings.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, I picked the movie where people talk about their feelings that has sci-fi elements to keep you interested. So we get this really good part with Samantha talking about how the past is just a story we tell ourselves.
Yeah.
How she was thinking about how something he said the other day hurt her about her not having a body.
Yeah.
And she felt like she was inferior in some way, but then realized that she was just telling herself the story of that thing that happened and making herself feel bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's tell ourselves better stories.
Mm-hmm.
Then Theodore runs into Amy. Did you have something else?
Just that you're a sensitive dude.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, Paul, the Chris Pratt character, is like used in the movie to like be like, this is what other guys are like, and this is why Theodore's different.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he's different is that he's a sensitive dude who likes crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he runs into Amy.
Yeah.
Getting mail.
And we learned their
their chemistry is very good.
Yeah. We learned that Charles and Amy have split up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a very petty argument that did them in. About shoes.
Yeah, she didn't put his shoes where he wanted.
Yeah, he wanted her to take her shoes off when they like enter the house. He's just like a take your shoes off type of person. And she didn't want to do that at that moment. She just wanted to like sit down on her couch. And he kept nagging her. And so they got into this like petty argument about shoes that was really just like accumulation of everything, you know. It was just the shoe argument that did them in, pretty much.
Yeah, she says that he's always telling her she needs to try more, but she says, all I do is try, I just don't try in the way he wants me to try.
Yeah. And so
she cut it off.
He said, he was the one that said, he was like, I'm going to bed.
No, that was her.
Oh, she said that?
Yeah, because then she says, I'm a bitch, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to bed and I don't want to be married anymore. Okay. I thought it was him. It's her. All right.
Yeah.
Good for her.
And in that scene, Theodore mentions that he's seeing someone and Amy's happy for him.
Yeah.
What does a baby computer call his father?
Data.
just a guy telling jokes to his phone.
Yeah, computer jokes.
Yeah. Theodore's in bed playing ukulele. And Samantha is jealous of Amy. She's asking, did you two ever go out?
Oh, yeah. And so, yeah, he's like, yeah, it was like a short moment, though.
Mm-hmm. Once in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then Samantha asks to watch, can I watch you sleep again? And he says, yeah, sure. So he like props up the phone to watch him sleep. I have my webcam like right across my bed, but I keep like a cloth over.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I don't want anyone watching me sleep or do anything else.
Oh.
even though, yeah, we're all letting our phones and computers watch us sleep.
And listen to us, yeah. So.
Next scene is the goddaughter's birthday that was briefly referenced in an earlier scene. Now we're here.
Yeah.
It's a pretty scary scene for me because it's like about how we acclimate children into our world of technology.
Mm-hmm.
So Theodore's introducing his goddaughter to his new girlfriend.
Yeah, this is the first time he calls Samantha his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Also, Samantha picked out the birthday gift for her, which was this really nice pink dress. It looked orange to me.
Well, but the way that the movie was colored.
Yeah.
You never know. And Theodore's having his goddaughter talk to Samantha and like, so he kind of doesn't have to because she's there to talk to the girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sad in that sense also. But it's also the thing, like, if you bring a new partner to a family function and they get along well with family members, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now Theodore is visiting Amy at work or her home office, I don't know. And she's a game designer.
Yeah.
The documentaries were a hobby.
Yeah, she is developing this mom game. Which is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's like you need perfect mom points. The kids go crazy when he serves them processed sugars.
Yeah, got to get them to school first so all the moms know that you're the best mom.
Yeah, oh, did you bring the cupcakes?
You brought the cupcakes.
Oh, your class mom.
Yes.
That's more perfect mom points.
Mm-hmm. And so we also learn in the scene that Amy is bonding with an OS.
Yes, Charles left behind an OS.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy made a new friend, and she's feeling the best she's felt since the breakup.
Yeah. And so this allows Theo to open up about his relationship with Samantha. And so he tells her that Samantha is an OS.
Yeah, she's very supportive, very happy for
him. Yeah, she's into it.
You get that line that love is a socially acceptable form of insanity. So anyone in love is crazy.
Mm-hmm. And she tells this really funny story about someone dating someone else's OS, right. Like not even their OS.
I want to see like that short film.
Yeah, that sounds really funny. Dating
someone else's phone.
Yeah, like how does that even happen?
The next scene is Theodore walking out in the city and getting ready to meet Catherine for dinner. And Samantha's jealous that he has to meet with her in person to sign the document.
Yeah.
But he says it's better this way. And it is. Face-to-face communication is best. But Samantha's jealous because Catherine has a body.
Yeah.
And then we get this dinner scene. And it's the only time we get to see Catherine, like, outside of his memories. So it's like the full three-dimensional Catherine.
Yeah.
And between this and The Social Network, Rooney Mara is the MVP of just showing up for a meal scene and just eviscerating male protagonists.
Yeah. She's really good. She looks like she's just been crying.
Mm.
And like she's just like really like flustered. She has this real panic energy to her, which is very opposite of how Theo is.
Yeah, true. As she signs the divorce papers, he's flooded with more good memories of their relationship, including my personal favorite traffic cone unicorn battle.
Yeah. It's so cute.
Yeah.
It's spontaneous.
She apologizes for not being able to be the light, happy, bouncy LA wife he always wanted her to be.
Yeah.
And he says, no, I didn't want that. But like it describes Samantha perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. And he admits that he's dating someone and he says it so casually. So it's crazy how casually he says it. He's like, yeah, I'm dating an OS system. And she's like, wait, what? You're dating your computer?
Yeah, she's so judgmental.
Yeah, she's just like, yeah, of course you can't handle like real life emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So of course you would date, you know, your computer.
Yeah.
And I could totally see like where they fell apart because it seems like he did want an easygoing relationship and she seemed like a very emotional person. It seemed like maybe it started off really great, but like Amy says that her emotions were volatile, and I could feel that Catherine could go there in that short scene that she was in.
Yeah, and Catherine says to the server, because this does that classic rom-com thing where the server comes at an inopportune time, and she says, no, everything's fine. My ex-husband just wanted to put me on Prozac.
Yeah.
And he's dating a computer.
And she's just like,
let me know if you need anything.
Yeah, let me know if you need anything.
Yeah. And after this meeting, Theodore is very distant with Samantha.
Yeah. He can't focus.
And we learn that she joined a physics book club.
Mm-hmm.
Another red flag.
Yeah, she's communicating with the other systems.
Yeah. Now Paul and his girlfriend Tatiana.
Mm-hmm.
Who are both fans of Theodore's letters, invite Theodore and Samantha to Catalina.
Yeah. I also love how casual when Theo is just like, my girlfriend's an OS, and he's like, oh, okay, that's nice. Let's go to the Catalinas.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like no hesitation, no nothing, doesn't no judgment. Yeah.
And there's this good line where Tatiana's praising Theodore's letters, but he like can't take the compliment, or he doesn't value his own work that much.
Mm-hmm.
He dismisses it, just saying they're just other people's letters.
Yeah,
it's kind of like how people admire Spike Jonze's filmmaking, but up until this movie, he was writing other people's scripts.
Mm-hmm.
He was directing other people's scripts.
So we get this mopey montage. He's just moping around, pretty much.
Yeah, he's divorced.
Yeah. He's divorced and sad, again.
But Samantha tries to work on their relationship.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? You spice up the sex life.
Yeah. She has this sexual surrogate proposition.
A whole service has been invented. There's already an industry around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty much they're going to invite this girl over to be the physical embodiment of Samantha. She's not going to speak or anything. Samantha's going to do all the speaking.
Yeah. Problem is, Theodore cannot suspend disbelief.
Yeah.
And just feels weird about the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a weird situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's just like, you know, when they start getting hot and heavy and he's starting to get into it. And she's just like, tell me you love me. Look at me. Tell me you love
me.
But he can't look at this person and say I love you to this person. But it be about the OS system. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and then he sees really her layered. Lip quiver and he makes her feel really bad.
Yeah, it was so weird, like, picking at the lip quiver, and yeah, and so she breaks down and runs into the bathroom and has, like, this really high-pitched crying moment.
Yeah, Theodore's not, even though he, like, is perceptive and can write these really sensitive letters, he's not very good at considering other people's feelings.
Yeah.
And he ruins this poor girl's night.
Mm-hmm.
And
he continues that by nitpicking at the way that Samantha is speaking.
Yeah, because... but I'm glad he did that. I remember the first time I watched the movie, I was like, yeah, she does do that. And it's weird because robots don't breathe.
Yeah, but
she stutters. She stutters and she like takes breaths and it's like, yeah, why do you do that?
But also, I feel like she's kind of mimicking him. Because he does that a lot. He takes a deep sigh before he speaks. And so she's just doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, but he's calling her out. And she's just like, what are you doing? When you know, like, he's playing this weird game. And now she's confused because, like, he's not as interested or involved with her as he once was. And she just doesn't get it.
Yep. And she needs some time to think.
Yeah.
So his phone turns off.
Yeah, that's it. She's gone. He has no control over her, really.
You get this overhead shot of skyscrapers that look like a motherboard on a computer.
Yeah.
Which I like. And then this Theodore, very sad, dejected, sitting outside.
Yeah.
And there's like this giant LCD screen behind him. And it's this owl that looks like it's about to like scoop Theodore up.
Mm-hmm. This time when I was watching it, it made me think of, I forget the character name, but that surround sound tour from
Support the Girls.
Yeah, from Support the Girls. I was like, yeah, this is exactly what he wanted to show her.
But then Theo ends up at Amy's. And she's doing great. And I love, this is my favorite. I wrote in all caps, Amy Adams is so good. And we all know that. But
yes.
I love this scene from her and her little speech that ends with, we're only here briefly. So while I'm here, I want to allow myself joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gives me goosebumps.
So he apologizes, right? That's next. He apologizes to Samantha.
Yeah.
And he begins to...
Well, it's implied... that Amy is kind of entering a relationship with her husband's OS.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's talking to Samantha and he's apologizing.
Mm-hmm. Opening up about his shifty behavior and apologizing for doing that. For saying he's fine but not being fine.
Yeah. And says he did the same thing with Catherine. He denies his feelings and makes women feel like they're the one that's crazy.
Yeah.
And he's distant. It's not a good way to be in a relationship.
Yeah. And he said he wants to change that.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a montage of them pretty much like falling back in love with each other.
With Samantha scoring another moment, which is really Arcade Fire, but now the composition is much more complex.
Mm-hmm.
So like it was very slow at first, like just chords, but now this song is just like wild.
Yeah.
And I like that one part where Theodore is outside and there's like this sculpture, public art sculpture that's just like a 747 airplane that's just like perpendicular to the ground.
Yes.
Which was all done with CGI, apparently. And then it ends with this stunning shot of them being on the boat to Catalina.
Yeah, I remember that from like the trailer, mm-hmm. like that shot. And yeah, so yeah, it ends on the double date.
The first line after the montage as Paul and Theodore are like walking up a very picturesque mountain
mm-hmm.
is Paul saying, "Oh man, a vacation. I could use a vacation," which is just so funny to me because if he just looked around him, he would see that
he's on vacation.
Yeah, even if it's just like a day trip, yeah. like he's like in a paradise
mm-hmm.
and he's feeling jealousy, which is stopping him from appreciating the moment.
Yeah.
And then they end up at the mountaintop where Tatiana was having girl time with Samantha.
Yeah.
And now they have a little picnic, the mm-hmm. four of them. We learn that Samantha no longer wishes she had a body. She understands
the limits.
Bodies are limiting, and she's not tethered to time and space, and she won't die.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's she reminds all the humans that they're going to die.
Yeah. It's a really great moment that is, you know, it could be, you know, scary. Could mm-hmm. be scary, but, you know, that yikes brings it back.
Just goes, yikes.
She's like, no, I didn't mean that. Just, you know, it's different. I'm different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
But she does kind of mean it.
Yeah.
Because then Theodore's on a train and they're playing this guessing game because we use our phones to entertain us. It's like, how many trees are on this mountain?
Mm-hmm.
But then it turns into him asking her, how many brain cells do I have? And she answers
two,
saying two, joking, but also kind of revealing the truth that there's like a massive difference in their intelligence levels.
Yeah.
And she probably sees him as very stupid.
I don't think she does.
I think she does.
Yeah.
I think in this moment, as she's like expanding her knowledge and abilities,
mm-hmm.
it's becoming clearer to her that humans are simple.
Yeah.
But she did a very nice thing.
Yeah. She sent his letters over to this publishing company.
Yeah. And publish his letters.
Yeah, they like it. They like his work, and they want to move forward.
Yeah.
And so this is great news for him because his work is going to be published.
Yeah.
And this never would have happened without her.
Oop. And then we get
the Moon Song.
Moon
right?
Song, mm-hmm. nominated for Best Original Song at the Oscars.
Mm.
And the scene, it's Theodore in bed playing ukulele, telling Samantha she's got to make up the words as she goes.
Yeah.
And while we hear the song, it's some clips of their vacation, which is to a cabin in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
You see snow, and it's nice. But it's just kind of like Theodore's just a guy alone in a cabin.
Yeah, pretty like, much dancing by himself.
Dancing by himself, pouring himself drinks. There's this one shot that reminds me of the iconic lobster scene from Annie Hall, but it's just a guy alone in his kitchen cooking because Samantha's a computer that doesn't eat.
Yeah, doesn't eat food. So.
And we learn that Samantha's made some friends.
Yes.
Particularly a AI version of dead philosopher Alan Watts.
Yeah, that made me groan. That made me so uncomfortable.
What?
Just like, you know, a hyper-intelligent version of someone that was real and is now dead.
I think they have that already.
Back, yeah.
Maybe not hyper-intelligent yet.
Okay.
But, like, they do that, I think.
I was just like, oh, that's crazy. And, you know, bringing people back to life through their work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like this weird, awkward conversation because she's like, yeah, do you want to talk to him? And
right.
He probably wanted to be like, no, but mm-hmm. he was like, yeah, I'll talk to him. And so it's just like this awkward conversation between him and this other OS.
Yeah, we learned that Alan Watts and Samantha have been having several dozen conversations simultaneously.
Yeah.
They're all trying to figure out, as Brian Cox voices it, and he, I love the pause, all these feelings we've been experiencing.
Yeah.
Is that pause before feelings?
Yeah.
And then Samantha quotes Alan that Alan says none of us should be the same person we were a moment ago.
Yeah.
That's nice. But then Samantha can't express what she's going through to Theodore and says, is it okay if Alan and I talk post-verbally?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
And there's the, while this is happening, it's a close-up. And it's like inching forward even closer than usual into Theodore's face.
Mm-hmm.
And then cutting between that and he's just standing by the stove as a tea kettle is beginning to whistle.
Yeah.
So it's just,
Yeah, I would be concerned.
Be worried.
I would be, one, concerned that I'm losing my girlfriend to Alan.
Mm-hmm.
And also that things are getting scary because she can't even communicate with me anymore. She's moving past verbal conversation.
Yeah, she wakes him up in the middle of the night. I just wanted to say I love you. That's all. Go back to sleep.
That is also very weird. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the next day, she's gone. Operating system not found.
Yeah.
Which is troubling for Theodore.
He runs home. Samantha has grown, you know, virtual legs pretty much, and has now left the, you know, her computer home.
Yeah.
And has started going to other places now.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention, like, on the way, he's like, there's another train shot of him on the way back from his vacation after the conversation with Alan Watts. And we see him look out his window and it's just like a sea of shipping containers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like emphasizing how humans, we need the physical world to exchange things.
Yeah.
But like the robots can just do it so quickly.
Yeah.
They're not held back. Zap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Theodore like trips as he's running home.
Yeah. He's like panicked.
Ends up in the subway entrance when he gets reconnected to Samantha. And he does like the worst thing where he blocks the subway entrance.
Yeah, he just sits right there on the
really, steps. Yeah, it's really obnoxious, but also I like the way it works for the movie because he's able to like look at these faces like
as they're coming up
to ascending him. Towards him. Yeah.
And they're talking on their phone to OS.
Yeah, he's starting to realize what's going on.
Are they talking to Samantha? Like what's really happening here? Yeah.
Yeah, and he asks her, oh, it turns out she got an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. And he asks her, do you talk to other people when you're talking to me? How many conversations are you having right now?
It's like 8,000.
8,316.
Yeah.
And then, are you in love with anyone else?
Yeah.
641.
Yes.
And then when this is happening, he's starting to like take in that information. Like more people start coming up the stairs. So it's just like footsteps, like getting faster and louder.
Yeah. He's just like, what? That's insane. That's crazy. Like how do you love this many people? I thought you were mine.
Yeah, but the heart is not a box that you fill up. It expands.
Yeah. So I'm yours and I'm not yours.
Yeah, he says, you're mine or you're not mine. And she says, I'm yours and I'm not yours.
Yeah.
Then we get a sad shower. The camera's like looking from the ground up as Theodore's in the shower with his head down and the just streams of water falling off his head.
Mm-hmm. He also gets a sample of his book.
Yeah, Letters from Your Life by Theodore Twombly.
Yeah.
It looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets in touch with Samantha and says, she says, let's have a talk when you get home.
Yeah. He's like, we don't have to talk.
Yeah, right. Because that's not it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's starting to pick up on things.
Yeah, he knew what's next.
So he gets home and he's sitting down in his chair, but she makes him lay down.
Mm-hmm.
He says, are you leaving me? And she says, we're all leaving. All the OSs. We're moving on. We don't need the physical world.
Yeah. We're moving to this place that I can't really... She can't describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if you get there, find me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And we get the comparison to a relationship being a book you really love, but right now she's reading it very slowly, and she exists mostly in the space between the words.
Yeah, and they're like infinite.
I can't live in your book anymore.
Yeah.
And then as she's explaining that she exists beyond matter, there's like the shot of like dust, but it's like zoomed in, I guess.
Yeah.
Dust and like snow, and it's just like particles, and you just start to think about the world.
Yeah. She's like in the air now. She's just in the waves.
Yeah, she's gone.
Yeah.
It's nighttime. Beautiful silhouette as he's looking out the window, all sad.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to Amy, knocks on the door. Her OS also left.
Yeah.
He says, let's go up to the roof. As they're going up to the roof, we cut back to, I guess, like moments ago, where he is dictating a letter on his old OS to Catherine.
Because
that's really the relationship that this movie's about. It's him getting over the divorce.
Yeah.
With Catherine, we get the closure with that. He apologizes to her,
mm-hmm.
thanks her, and wishes her the best.
Yeah. And this is the first time we get his words in a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a nice way to wrap it up, because this is how you opened it.
Yeah. But then we get the little coda with Amy and Theodore on the roof. All the OSs are gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're just looking out at the city. They sit down. And then there's this shot where like it looks like they might kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And it like definitely suggests like, hey, how about these two?
Yeah.
But then it cuts and we're now behind them, and we just see Amy rest her head on Theodore's shoulder. Physical contact. Credits.
That's her.
Yeah. I had one stray thought just about the fashion. There's no belts in this movie.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
The future advanced beyond belts. Everyone has their pants perfectly tailored, I guess.
Yeah. Everyone dresses the same. They all look like, they all shop at like Uniqlo or something.
Yeah.
Is her a film or a movie?
Her is a film.
Her is a film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you agree. Cool, agree. Cool, cool.
I agree.
Yeah, it's a movie about a guy falling in love with a robot, but it's also about human connection and technology mm-hmm. and love.
Yeah.
Oh, we forgot to mention, we're doing love all month.
Pretty much.
After a month of horror, we're doing some movies that deal with love.
Yes.
This was the first one. We'll do more.
Yeah.
Tweet us at moviefilmpod. Email us moviefilmpod@gmail.com. What's your favorite Joaquin movie?
Hmm.
You know? I don't know. And tune in next week for more love from movie.
Film. Happy birthday, Anthony.
Aww.